Well, I would like to say good morning and God bless you and greetings in the name of Jesus. It is a joy and a blessing to be here with you. I am inspired and encouraged by the church family growing here in Shenandoah. It is a joy to come and worship with you, dear folks. I would like to, this morning in the message, first of all, introduce you to Margaret Clarkson. Curious. Anybody hear of her? Okay. How about a hymn that we sing, or sometimes, So Send I You? Okay. Margaret Clarkson wrote that song, and I'd like to give you the backstory of the song. Her life is intriguing. I just read her biography. And it's in a pretty amazing biography that is a picture of a difficult life, hardships, physical problems. She was a teacher, and her assignment was to teach in a gold mining camp in northern Ontario. She had a longing in her heart from a little girl, and reading her life story is an inspiration. If you want to just read a little bit about her, do it. I'm going to summarize it. As a little girl, she longed to serve in the foreign field. That's what she wanted to do. But she had physical limitations and difficulties that her health just did not enable her to go. So she felt called to serve as a teacher. And if I remember the story right, she had where she wanted to teach. It wasn't an option. So she kind of was called, sent to this little gold mining camp in northern Ontario where it wasn't really cool to be. And that's where she was serving. And she writes of experiencing loneliness of every kind. Mental loneliness is what she wrote about. She wrote about cultural loneliness. I'm not sure if I can unpack all these terms, but even particularly spiritual loneliness. She felt like she just had no one that she could really relate to well on a spiritual level. I guess the setting where she was called to wasn't a vibrant setting, where it was just really, you know, you get fired up just being around people. Well, she faithfully served there. And she knew that this was her calling. Even though she had other desires, she knew that this is the way it was supposed to be. And she faithfully served. In one of her very lonely, down, dark days, she resorted to the scripture. And she was reading in John chapter 20. And she was reading about, you know, Thomas and so forth. And she came to the verse, and I do have it on a slide. In John 20:21, Jesus said to them, and I'm assuming you know the context, that's where he appeared to the disciples. They were afraid right after he rose again. He said, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you." And it was just like what she needed that day. And out of that experience with the Lord, she wrote a song. And it's in the Hymns of the Church, 906. It is, "So send I you, so send I you to take toil for me alone. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father sent me, so send I you." So I just think it's a really neat backstory to the song. There was sometimes we sing the hymns and we sing the songs and we wonder what inspired what event or what happening, what circumstance inspired someone to pen these words. Well, to me, that was a very interesting story. So back to John 20, 21. What I want to do is highlight a word. And I would like to highlight the word sent. And I'd like you to make it personal. As the Father, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You're sent. I remember sitting at a panel discussion at an event called Reach. Some of you may have attended the Reach event. That I think has happened at least 3 or 4 times, but I think if I recall right, it was the very first Reach that was held in the Lancaster area. And I remember sitting in the panel discussion, and the panel discussion was about missions. And several mission organizations had one of their board members or administrators or whatever, or sometimes it was a missionary on this panel. And they wrestled with question after question after question. And I remember, you know, you had this thing called a takeaway. Sometimes you're at a service, and or maybe sometimes in family devotions we read, and then I say, okay, what was your takeaway? What did you hear? My takeaway from that panel discussion was the word sent. And I remember those men who had incredible experience in missions. Their conclusion, their entire conclusion was, it is so different when a person is sent with a mission. Sent. There's somebody behind them supporting, encouraging, and providing accountability. Sent. So that's the word that I'd kind of highlight. I'd like to highlight. So send I you. And probably one of the best illustrations of this is what I'm talking about is Acts 13. Shortly after this happened in John 20, you have the church up in Antioch, which I think is one of the model churches. Great diversity there. And they were praying and they were fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, send Paul and Barnabas. And it says in 13:3, and when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And I don't know, I like to picture, and I don't know if this is accurate, but I found a picture of, well, first of all, it's very accurate that they laid hands on them and sent them away. But I like to just picture almost the entire church going down to the seashore and watching them get on the boat, and there they go, disappearing off the horizon. No WhatsApp, no emails, no nothing, until months later they came back. And wow, I would have loved to be in that service. In Acts 14, verse 27, it says that Paul and Barnabas came back, and the whole church got together, and they rehearsed all the things that God had done. And they, in other words, they gave a report on their sending. Beautiful. This concept is woven throughout the scripture. Romans 10, verse 13, it says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? There it is. And it is written, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring the glad tidings of great things. So, again, what I'm just highlighting this morning, the beauty of God the Father sending Jesus, and then the commission that Jesus gives, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So whatever you're doing in life right now, I trust that there's a peace, even if it's tough, even if it's difficult, even if it's not really where you want to be, there's this peace that passes all understanding. I'm sent. I'm called. This is a holy calling, if you will. I'm just going to flip through these. John 8, this is Jesus, and he that sent me is with me. See, there he again refers to being sent. And hath not left, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always the things which please him. We could go to John 17, where he is praying for his disciples, and he says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, and thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. So I'm hoping you're seeing a theme, and I know I'm just kind of getting a collage of scriptures, but I'm hoping you're seeing a theme of I think this is important in God's heart, in God's will, of recognizing God the Father sent the Son, and he carried out his will, and then he commissioned all of us. Even so, send I you. So we're back to John 20, 20, 21. As the Father sent me, so send I you. I found something really interesting. And you can probably see it in your Bible if you look at John 20, 21. Different Bibles have different characteristics. But if a word was not in the original manuscript, but was kind of needed for us to understand in our English, it'll be in italics. Okay? So if you look carefully at this verse, the word my is in italics. So that indicates that it was added for clarity. So some people thought, oh, we got to add my father, but does it really need to be there? Would it be okay to say, as Father sent me, so send I you? I like it. If two siblings are talking, hey, Father sent, yeah, I'm okay with that. As Father sent me, so send I you. Well, maybe just kind of a side note on translations and so forth, but I liked that when I discovered that. So now let's just drop into the setting here, whether it's my Father sent me or Father sent me. Just put yourself in the disciples' shoes for a minute. They have just seen the cross, okay? That's a few days fresh. The burial. They heard they heard Mary's story of the empty tomb. The Peter and John racing to the tomb and believing. And now they're all huddled together and they were afraid. They were fearful, it says in the text. And it says in verse 20 that Jesus showed them his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So their fear had subsided to joy. So they were glad when they saw the Lord. And then comes the first commission. We talk about the Great Commission, and this is probably the first commission. So send I you. Just as Father sent me, so send I you. Now, put yourself in the disciples' shoes. You know, so we kind of understand the book of Acts, but this is pre-Acts of the Apostles. So if you were in that setting and you got a little group kind of afraid, scared of the Jews, and the Lord comes and says, so send I you. Whoa. In other words, as the Father sent me and I had a ministry, I'm going to send you. Huh. You mean I will do what Jesus did? You think that was the first thing they thought of? Ha! I'm going to walk on water. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe their minds went to, oh, that was a day where the whole multitude came and they wanted to make Jesus the king. Ha-ha, that'll be us. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it was the triumphal entrance in Jerusalem and they were picturing themselves riding in on the donkeys and everybody laying out the palm. Maybe not. I'm going to say probably not. They were little experiences along the way. There were days of victory and triumph, but fresh in their minds is the dusty trail that led to the cross. That was fresh. That was raw. And that's probably why they were afraid. Maybe this scene was fresh. In fact, there's a lot of, this is a real side note. There's a lot of hype about being afraid of 666. Here's a little my 666. Here's the 666 you really, really need to fear. John 666. Okay? From that time, many of his disciples went back. And if I ever want to find that verse, I just know that. 666. Maybe that's the scene that came to their mind. They had many followers, and then they turned back because they were disappointed. In that setting, they probably were following for the manna or following for a miracle. But it says in John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So maybe as they looked forward receiving this commission, maybe it was that. You know what? Rejection is hard. I said the road to the cross, the dusty trail that led to the cross was very fresh. It was very raw. Gethsemane was a fresh memory, I'm sure. I don't know if they all knew the wrestling that Jesus had at Gethsemane, but remember that when he looked in the cup and he saw what his calling was. He said, Jesus Christ said, I don't want it. I don't want it. Father, if there's any other way. It's okay to wrestle. It is. It's okay to wrestle. He said, I don't want it. Then I'm guessing it got quiet in the garden. Real quiet. And the Lord finally said, but nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And then angels came and ministered to him. And then shortly after that, the blazing torches showed up. 600 men. It says a band of men. That's usually about 600. 600 against one. And they came marching up the hill to Gethsemane, but they did. The 600 soldiers didn't realize that the battle was over. There was no battle. The battle was fought right here. I don't want it. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. The battle's done. And by the way, if people can do that, that there's no battle, there's no fight. 600 people show up, and there was they wanted a fight. There was no fight. He came out and addressed them as friends. This is probably what's going through the disciples' minds. So send I you. Oh, this is my road now. Maybe the fresh memory of Jesus picking up the ear that Peter sliced off in his rage and healing it. Maybe the non-resistant scenes that Jesus demonstrated on the way to the cross as a lamb going to the... as a sheep going to the shears, to the slaughter. Maybe the agony of the cross. Maybe the empty tomb. Maybe the I don't know what's going through their minds, and that's not important. But what we want to know is, what we want to reiterate, just like Jesus. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So, we're sent just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. So I'd like to leave you with three considerations. And the first one, they all start with M. So here's the M&Ms of the message. The first one is we are sent with the same method. We are sent with the same method. The method was not angels. The method was not political power. Although the Jews longed for that. The Jews wanted a showdown of power and just show these Romans. But the method was simple. We are sent with the same method. What was the method? The method was servanthood. That's how Jesus came. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. And then it just kind of unpacks the servanthood, being like a man, humbled himself, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that's the method, being a servant. You know, we did have the opportunity to live in another culture, and I think sometimes I know that we made so many mistakes, but I'm learning. If you want to reach a people, as much as you can, be like them. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He could have came in a blazing, you could have, think about all the way Jesus came, could have come. But how did he come? He came just as a man. Likeness of man. He wanted to be like a man. In fact, he could have came as a king and been like a man, but he wanted to become the lowest part of a man. So my point is, servanthood will become as much like the people as you can, without any compromise, of course, but then also maybe having even a servant attitude towards the people you came to serve. Like, I reflect on our time that we lived in another culture. The more we could live like them, the more we could eat like them, the more we could walk with them, the more we could talk with them, or even talk like them, it breaks down barriers. So the point, sent with the same method, and the method is servanthood. And you just reflect on Jesus' life. Look at him. Look at him, the woman at the well. Look at him just sit down on our level as much as he could. No compromises. But look at him weeping with Mary and Martha. Look at him with Zacchaeus up in the tree, calling him down, going into his house. Look at him even receiving accusations from other people. Look, he's just eating and drinking with people that are of a lesser reputation. But he always had a purpose because he came to serve. Well, enough on that point. But we are we are sent with the same method, and the method is servanthood. Let's go on to the second one. We are sent with the same motivation. And sometimes I ask myself, what drives me? And I want to ask you, what drives you? Have you ever seen this cartoon? I'm sorry for putting a cartoon in a sermon, but there's something there that grips me. You know what the point is with this illustration? The man's trying to get the donkey to do what he wants the donkey to do. Number one, trying the reward, okay? Maybe I can motivate him with a reward. And then, okay, if that don't work, I'm going to motivate him by punishment. And I think there's a lot of people that are the same way. I'll do this if there's XYZ. Or I'll do this because I don't want to receive XYZ. There's a better way. There's a better motivation. And I ask you, what motivated Jesus? Was it reward? Was it fear of punishment? I don't think so. The love of Christ constrains us. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:14. And New King James uses the word compel. And I like that. And ESV says controls. So we're talking about sent with the same motivation, and the motivation is love. That is the highest motivation to do anything. If you do something because you love somebody, that is going to be by far the most effective. And just think about this for a minute. How did Jesus love? Oh, watch him hold the children. Watch him take the children up in his arms. Oh, and I know many of you do this. You do this to your own children, and you do this to other children that don't have the love in their homes. But you take up a child, and I want to tell you, can never, I don't know if we can ever comprehend what all happens when you pick up a child and just love the child. I think that's why Jesus did it. I'm told that Fanny Crosby, she was so moved one time in a nursing home ministry. She was watching a youth group minister to children that were very unfortunate. And she witnessed a child being lifted up and loved. And then she wrote a song, okay? This isn't all about back stories of songs, but did you ever sing, "Touched by a Loving Heart"? wakened by kindness, chords that will vibrate, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. That was Fanny Crosby. One day she was watching a youth group minister in a, did I say nursing home? In a children's home. And she was so moved, pointing them to Jesus. The point here is motivated by love, pointing them to Jesus. What a beautiful picture. Sometimes love is more than holding a child in their arms. You know this story, don't you? The rich young ruler, in fact, came running to Jesus, if you read the text. How do you like that? Here's the master, and somebody comes running to you. Usually you have to go after, and here this guy comes running to him. And Jesus, beholding him, what does it say? Loved him. This wasn't picking him up and holding him and saying, oh, everything will be okay. This was saying some hard things. This was saying something that he didn't want to hear. And that's what love does. Love says things sometimes that people don't want to hear. Jesus said, one thing you lack, go, sell, give, then come. Take up your cross, follow me. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. He wasn't willing to receive love. William Booth had a daughter that went to Paris to establish a Salvation Army. And it was a really tough place to establish a Salvation Army. And it was back in the day where you couldn't, it was difficult to send large amounts of text, okay? I mean, their messages were really simple. Anyway, one day, William Booth's daughter sent a message back to him and said something like this, Dad, it's so difficult, it's so hard, I can't do it, I'm coming back. And William Booth sent a reply to her daughter. This probably took weeks or months or whatever. Two words to his daughter. Try tears. And there will be times where tears will flow. And I'm speaking to myself. Do I have a soft heart towards people that I am ministering to that it's okay to cry? William Booth said, try tears. That can only be done with a heart of love. We are sent with the same motivation, and the motivation is love. Love. Lastly, same message, nothing changed. I'm so glad. I am so glad the message doesn't change every decade. We live in a changing world, but the message does not change. And sometimes I have to refresh myself. Is it true that in 2023, I have the exact same message that Peter had at Pentecost? Absolutely. That nothing changed. And you could put various verses up, but simplicity of the scripture, repentance. And I used to think repentance is all about stop what's bad and quit it and just do what's good. That's only a little slice of it. Tiny slice of repentance. Repentance is nothing more than turning away from worldly values, values that the kingdom of this world lifts up, turning away from them and embracing kingdom values. That's what repentance is. And that's why Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was always an equivalent to repentance. So, and that's why you and I need to continue to repent. How many times do earthly values try to take control? So we're sent with the same message. Repent and believe and follow Jesus. I am so glad that the gospel message does not change. So we're sent with the same method. It is servanthood. We're sent with the same motivation, it is love. And we are sent with the same message. It is repentance and turning to Jesus Christ and following him and believing in him. And that is simply obeying him and walking with him and following Jesus. Sometimes I have to refresh myself, and that's such a simple fact. Do I really believe that I can go into the ghetto and talk to somebody and just lay out the gospel and believe with all my heart that if they believe it, their life will change? It's the message. It is the message of the gospel. Jesus died. He shed his precious blood. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He ascended into heaven. He's coming again. That's the message. And there's power and deliverance in that name. So God bless you. As you know, you are sent. Wait, I thought I had that slide up, but I didn't. There it is. Repent. Follow me. God bless you as you realize you're sent. And you have the method, you have the motivation, and you have the message. Now, I'm not going to sing the song. I don't know it well. But just listen carefully. So send I you to labor unrewarded. I think she was onto something. I think she understood something about the Christian life. To serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown. To bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world aweary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a hungering for the loved and the known, forsaking home and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend, though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Jesus, thank you for sending us. Empower us to go as a servant. Empower us to love. And empower us to give the message accurate. Bless this congregation as we're sent. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.